Yesterday, Sharaji explained that the majority of the human have much interest in the sensual pleasure, and they like and they crave on the sensual pleasure, having fun with this pleasure. They do not see the flaws of sensual pleasure. And they do not know the way to gain the true happiness. And they end up having social problems that cannot be solved. And nowadays, it is worse. And the deities also are having sensual pleasure with all the time they have. And they think that they don't have enough time to enjoy this sensual pleasure. The time is enough. Time is not enough for them in pursuing this sensual pleasure. They are drowned in this sensual pleasure. In the human world, when people indulge in this sensual pleasure, when it becomes extreme, they end up having mental problems, physical illnesses, and their immunity system deteriorate, and they eventually die. And also, the deities also die when their immunity go down. And they do not see the flaws of sensual pleasure. They take them as good and pleasant. Just as pigs and moth insects take pleasure that is fatal, in the same way, people and deities enjoy sensual pleasure one life after another. Wise people know that having sensual pleasure is not the best. The sensual pleasure is good, but it can be dangerous and fatal. They are called kamasukha, the sensual happiness. These sensual happiness are also called milasukha, the happiness that is compared to feces. And they are also called aparisuddha sukha, they are impure happiness. On the other hand, the good kind of happiness is paviveka sukha, the happiness of seclusion, staying alone without the companionship, and also staying in seclusion away from the defilements. When attaining lokiya jhana, the mundane absorption, one gains the happiness of seclusion. Through the practice of satipatthana, when the person gains citta visuddhi, purification of the mind, and develop the knowledge discerning the nama rupa, and so on, the defilements are suppressed. And there will be upasamasukha, the happiness of tranquility. When the person develops knowledge, the state of tender and mature state of udiyabhaya jnana, insight knowledge into fast arising and passing away of the objects, the person experiences springy good experience, oozing cooling experience, And later on, when the person attains higher knowledge, there will be calm, good experience. When the person develops knowledge and when the knowledge becomes mature, one realizes apavada, the cessation, the happiness of Nibbana. Before one attains Nibbana, there will be pavada, continuous arising of the nama-rupa, like a stream of current. Realizing Nibbana, there is apavada, where there is cessation, and one gains happiness by realizing Nibbana. When the person gets to that stage, it will be very happy. It will be the best happiness. In the dispensation of the Buddha, one can gain such happiness. People who are wise, they know that they do not want to be sunk in the mud of sensual pleasure, and they seek the happiness that excels many times than the dangerous, fatal, sensual happiness. And they practice. When they practice keeping their mind focused in the single object of meditation, they attain samatha jhana, the absorption. And such kind of absorption practice exists even before Buddha attained enlightenment. During the Buddha's time also, there are brahmana who were skilled in these jhana practices, who attained abhijnana, supernormal knowledge. So these people who like to have happiness, they pursue the practice until they attain the different stages of jhana, absorption. Being free from the sensual pleasure, they are reborn in the Brahma realm. During the time of Buddha's dispensation, there are practices developing the Eight Noble Paths, and they are the three sikha, the three trainings. When the teaching of the Buddha become extinct, then among the eight factors, Panyamaganga, the wisdom factor, will no longer exist. And also, there will not be the three trainings, Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, to purify oneself. And those who want to be free from the sensual pleasure, who wants to stay in the seclusion, away from the companionship, away from the defilements, practice samatha, tranquility practice, keeping the mind focused on single object of meditation. And there are those who practice these tranquility practices, such as anapana, having focused in the breath, and so on. And Saraji won't explain in detail as they are samatha practices. Usually, people have interest in the sensual pleasure, having craving in these sensual objects, having sensual desire. Mostly, the mind go on to the sensual objects, wanting to have the sensual pleasure. In order to keep the mind away from the sensual pleasure, they practice samatha, keeping the mind focused on single object of meditation, noting them, noting the object, aiming, directing the noting mind onto the object, asserting effort in the practice. When they become skilled in the practice, the mind rubs against the object, their contemplation become effective, efficient, and they become certain in the noting, and they develop factors such as piti, joy, happiness, and also ekagata, one-pointedness of the mind. So when they attain jhana, absorption, the mind does not go to the sensual objects. And they get this practice, and they keep on practicing, so that the jhanic factors become strong. The mind is concentrated, observing closely on the object, and the jhanic factors become strong, and they gain the happiness of being calm and tranquil, the kind of happiness that excels than the sensual happiness. They gain the happiness of seclusion, staying alone, and they realize that such kind of happiness, staying alone in seclusion, keeping the mind focused on the single object of meditation, excels than the sensual happiness. And they are absorbed in this jhana, and they cherish the jhana practice. And practicing the samatha jhana, they attain appanna jhana, attainment concentration, attainment absorption. And with this absorption, they stay alone in seclusion, away from the hindrances such as kamma chanda, sensual desire, and so on. Having attained this absorption, they attain the assistance in the they attain the assistances in the plane of fine material and immaterial sphere. The definition of jhana: aramana jayati upanijayati di jhana. Observing closely on the object of meditation is called jhana. And the person practices samatha jhana, such as contemplating on metta. When practicing the metta jhana, one focuses the attention on the beings radiating metta in order to attain jhana. First, one has to radiate metta on oneself so that one will build up empathy, consideration towards other beings, wanting others to be well and happy, wanting others to be healthy, happy, and one can attain upajara jhana, access or neighborhood concentration. When attaining jhana, ekagata, one-pointedness of the mind, is most important. When the mind falls calm, collected, unified on the object, one's ekagata, one-pointedness of the mind, becomes strong, and one develops upajara jhana, neighborhood, or SS concentration. And the mind sinks into the object, pierces into the object, and it seems that the object of meditation, which is the being that has been radiated metta, and the mind become homogeneous, as if the object and the mind are just one. And there will be continuous arising of this one-pointedness of mind continuously, like a stream of current. Being free from the disturbance of hindrances such as kama, chanda, sensual desire, and so on. Samadhi concentration is directly opposite of kama, chanda, sensual desire, wanting to see good things, wanting to hear good sounds. Such kind of sensual desire are calm and suppressed, and the mind is free from these agitations by these hindrances. If the mind is not free from the agitation of the hindrances, such kind of agitation will create heat. If the mind being calm and suppressed away from these hindrances, there will be coolness. And if there is 1 minute of ekagata, 1 minute of one-pointedness of the mind, there will be 60 moments being calm and cool. If there is ekagata, one-pointedness of the mind, in 1 hour, there can be 3,600 moments being free from these hindrances, the mind being calm, tranquil, and cool. So when these kama chanda, sensual desire, and the hindrances have no chance to arise due to the one-pointedness of mind, the mind will be free from agitation. Being free from the agitation of these hindrances, the mind will be calm, suppressed, and there will be this cooling of this mind being suppressed. The hindrances being suppressed. When there is ekagata, one-pointedness of the mind falling calm, collected on panyati concept, which is the object of meditation, then the kama chanda nivrana, sensual desire, has no chance to arise. The kama chanda nivrana, the sensual desire, is removed by developing ekagata. It is said that kama chanda nivrana, it burns the mind. It is given the example when the fire breaks out in the forest, when the certain place has to be prevented from burning, one sets fire so that the fuel will be used up, so that the forest fire cannot spread to that area. So when the fuel has been burned up, then the forest fire cannot spread. In the same way, having ekagata, one-pointedness of the mind, the kama chanda, sensual desire, has no chance to arise. When the mind falls calm, collected, unified on the object, the sensual desire has no chance to enter. So it has these two functions, samadhi, or in other words, ekagata, keep the mind calm, collected, unified on the object, as well as not giving chance for these sensual desire to arise. The example is given, contagious illnesses and diseases should be prevented, and one should prevent these illnesses by getting vaccination, immunization, in order to prevent them. In the practice of metta, when the mind falls calm and collected, there will be ekagata, one-pointedness of the mind, and kamachanda, sensual desire, will have no chance to arise, and one will be replacing with ekagata, one-pointedness of the mind. One-pointedness of the mind is giving prevention that the kamachanda has no chance to arise. And if there is continuous arising of this one-pointedness of the mind, then there will be coolness, the mind being calm, suppressed away from these hindrances. And if there is 1 hour of ekagata, there will be 3,600 moments being cool, the mind being calm and suppressed. And if there are many hours, there will be many moments of being cool away from the hindrances. In order to keep the mind calm, collected, unified on the single object, there needs to be sukha, happiness. There should be sukha, happiness. There should be peacefulness both in the mind and the body, so that there will not be restlessness, there will not be worry. In this way, sukha, happiness, prevents udaccha and gogoccha, restlessness and worry, from arising. Happiness prevents the heat of restlessness and worry from arising. When there is sukha, there will be coolness, and the restlessness and worry heat will be dispelled. And there will be ekagata, one-pointedness of mind. That's why it is said that sukhino citta samadhi yati, meaning the person who has happiness will have one-pointedness of the mind. As much there is sukha, happiness, the more one will be free from udaccha and gogoccha, restlessness and worry. And if there is sukha, happiness for 1 hour, there will be 3,600 moments being away from udaccha and gogoccha. And in many days, there will be millions of moments being free from restlessness and worry. As much ekagata, as much the energy of one-pointedness of the mind is strong, the mental power will be greater, and there will be joy, and the person will have happiness and joy in the practice. When there is piti, joy, the mind will be free from vyabada, ill will. Vyabada is the ill will that destroys the mind, that makes the mind rotten. Piti, joy, is the opposite of vyabada, ill will. As much one develops piti, joy, the mind will be free from vyabada, ill will. And if there is 1 hour of developing piti, the person will have 3,600 moments being free from vyabada, ill will. If there are many hours of piti, there will be multiple times of 3,600 moments being free from vyabada. So in this way, the heat of vyabada, the heat of ill will be replaced by the coolness of bd, joy. There will be bd, joy, when the practice becomes skilled. In order to be effective in the practice, the mind should rub against the object. The example is given here in playing marbles. When the player hits the target in playing marbles, the player has joy and happiness. In practicing metta, when the mind rubs against the object of meditation, the being that has been radiated metta, when the mind rubs against the object, there will be certainty. If the mind doesn't rub against the object, there will be confusion and doubt. But when the mind hits the target, when the mind rubs against the object, there will be certainty, and one will be free from vijigicca, skeptical doubt. So by rubbing the noting mind against the object, uncertainty and doubt will have no chance to arise. And if BD arises, there will be sukha and ekagata, happiness and one-pointedness of the mind. In the satipatthana practice, when noting the objects such as rising and falling of the abdomen, continuously, one should note so that the noting mind rubs against the object. Rubbing the noting mind against the object, one will be certain and one discerns hardness, softness, warmth, heat, cold, lightness, stiffness, tension, movement, and so on. So the noting become efficient and one becomes certain with the object. If the yogi does not know that way, then his or her mindfulness will be just superficial. His or her noting will not be effective or efficient, and thus there will be uncertainty. It is important that the noting mind should rub against the object. Rubbing the noting mind against the object is vichara, sustained application. Having vichara, sustained application, uncertainty and doubt have no chance to arise. So in this way, uncertainty and doubt will be replaced by vichara. So when noting the object, rubbing the mind against the object continuously, one gains momentum in the practice and one develops another jhanic factor, vichara. In the practice of jhana, in developing metta, the object is the being, the panyati, the being. In order that the noting mind should hit the object, one needs the vitaka, aiming, directing the noting mind onto the object. Aiming, directing the noting mind onto the object, the mind will rub against the object. So it is very important to apply vitaka, aiming, directing the mind onto the object. Vitaka keeps the mind open, blossom, and active, so that the mind will be fresh. Having vitaka, the mind will not be constricted. One will not withdraw. One will not lack effort in the practice, not wanting to take easy, not feeling exhausted in the practice. When the noting mind has been aimed and directed onto the object, tinamitta has no chance to arise. So in this way, when the mind is aimed and directed onto the object, tinamitta will be removed. So in this way, applying these factors, the mind will be free from the burning of kamachanda, sensual desire, vyabhada, ill will, tinamitta, sloth and torpor, odacha, kokocha, restlessness and worry. Applying these jhanic factors, these hindrances that pollute the mind, these hindrances that weaken and obstruct the knowledge from arising, will be dispelled. Having these jhanic factors, they can dispel their relative opposite hindrances so that the mind will be free from the agitation of hindrances. Coolness will overwhelm the mind by removing these hindrances. And one has to think what will happen when the coolness overwhelms by removing these hindrances. When the jhanic factors, vitaka, vichara, piti, sukha, and ekagata, initial application, sustained application, joy, happiness, and one-pointedness of the mind become strengthened, then there will not be kama sukha, sensual desire, or mila sukha, the sensual desire that is compared to feces. Aprisuddha sukha, there will not be impure happiness, but instead one gains paviveka sukha, happiness of seclusion, having these jhanic factors of vitaka, vichara, piti, sukha, and ekagata. Gaining paviveka sukha, the happiness of seclusion, that excels many times than the sensual happiness, one will no longer think highly of the sensual happiness that is inferior, and one does not want his or her mind go to the sensual objects that are inferior. The person builds up moral shame and moral fear from the mind going into these sensual desire. By giving up the sensual pleasure, one gains the happiness that is greater. If one is sure to attain the greater happiness, one should be willing to give up the minor happiness. Having paviveka sukha, happiness of seclusion, one will no longer be interested in the sensual pleasure. One will practice further to make the mind firm with these jhana. The example is given here. If food items such as vegetables are kept outside, then they will easily become withered, perish, and become rotten. So if these vegetables are refrigerated, they last longer. So if these items are kept in the low temperature below 0 degrees, then they will be preserved. And one has to think what happens when these items are kept in the low temperature. When these items are refrigerated, the coolness will pervade in these items so that the heat will go out of these items. When the person be the flaws of the sensual pleasure of the human and deity world. And practicing jhana, the person will no longer be interested in the sensual pleasure. And their chetana, their volition of the jhana, will lead them to be born as Brahma. So by following this jhana path, by practicing samatha practices, the nivarana hindrances are suppressed and they are reborn as Brahma. Due to their diligent work, they gain the results of this jhana practice by being born in the Brahma realm. When practicing samatha, when the mind is calm, unified on the single object of meditation, the nivarana hindrances will be calm and suppressed, and there will be samatha sukha and paviveka sukha, the happiness of tranquility, the happiness of seclusion. The mind does not go onto the sensual objects, and thus gross mind does not arise, as the hindrances are suppressed, and the person observes the sila well without transgressing, and there will not be videkama kilesa, there will not be the transgressive defilements. Having suppressed nivarana hindrances, it is very peaceful and happy. So these Brahmas gain the joy and happiness being away from the nivarana hindrances. So this is the benefit of samatha practice. When practicing vipassana as well, when the defilements are suppressed, one also gains the happiness that are similar to that of the happiness in the samatha practice. And it is explained that samatha, through the practice of samatha, the mind has been calm, suppressing the nivarana hindrances momentarily. But when the jhana absorption has deteriorated, then the mind can still have transgressions, and the person can end up committing transgressions when the absorption has been deteriorated. So samatha jhana is not as strong. In the practice of samatha, the nivarana hindrances are suppressed so that the heat of the hindrances are calm and suppressed, and there will be peacefulness, joy, and happiness in the mind continuously. It is compared to cryogenics. Cryogenics is the technology where the very low temperature is used. So when there is very low temperature, the molecular motions will be calmed, and the item that has been exposed to this cryogenic extremely low temperature, the item will be kept fresh without perishing. And Saraji will continue to explain tomorrow.